If you want to read with me the scriptures that I'm going to be taking for my text this morning, I want you to turn over to the book of John. So John's gospel, and we're going to begin reading in the eighth verse with, or the eighth chapter with the first verse. John chapter 8, verse number 1. Praise God. John chapter 8, verse number 1. The scripture said, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. So he had retreated to the Mount of Olives, and in the morning he began to come back to the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. I don't know where the gentleman was, but they brought the woman. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? The reason that they're asking for his theological opinion is not because they are really concerned about what Jesus had to say, but they were trying to catch him in violation of the law. They had a motive behind them, an ulterior motive. They were trying to snag him. And they said this, verse number 6, this they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger he wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. There are individuals that speculate what Jesus may have written. The scripture doesn't tell us what he wrote. And we could speculate until tomorrow what he wrote. But really, we do not know what he wrote upon the ground. But we do know that what he wrote had an effect upon those that watched him write. Stooping down with his finger, he wrote upon the ground as though he heard them not. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote upon the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone. And the woman standing in the midst, it's just him and her. And when Jesus lifted himself up and saw no one or saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And I'm going to stop right there this morning. Ask that you bow your heads and let's pray and ask the Lord for his help to minister the word that he's put in my spirit today. Father, Lord, we are delighted to be able to gather here this morning in your name. We are grateful for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we have felt as we have worshiped and as we have lifted up our voice to praise. And Father, we come now to the reading of your word and the preaching of your word. And of my own self, Father God, I am incapable. I am deficient. And I look to you, the author and finisher of my faith, for my sufficiency. Put your word in my mind and in my heart and your words in my mouth. Let him come forth this morning, anointed of the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Holy Ghost. And I pray, Father, that you will give us absolute liberty to speak here in the house of God, that you will be glorified, that your people will be edified, and that our hearts will be challenged to follow you in a more intimate way. Father, for all of these things, we will give you the praise and we will give you the glory. And we ask them in the wonderful and in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and your Son. And everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. So I want to title my message this morning, Police, Paramedic, or Bystander? Police, Paramedic, or a Bystander? Imagine in the theater of your mind this morning with me that you are traveling down the road and you come upon an accident, an automobile accident that has taken place. Chances are there's someone that has been injured. Imagine for just, it may be a minor fender bender or it may be just minimal injuries, but it could be something that is very, very severe. But imagine, if you will, that you are driving down the road and you come upon an incident or an accident and someone has been seriously injured. I remember when I was, I believe I was 21, 22 years old. Back when I was playing country music and playing in the nightclubs, and my band had been playing over at the East Side Cafe or over at the East Side Lounge in Ontario. And I was on the bar closed down at 2 o'clock. The music stopped at 2 o'clock. Last call and everybody, you know, hit the road. And I was one of them that hit the road. And I was driving back home to Emmett. I'm about 21, 22 years old. I'm driving back home to Emmett. And it's about 2:30 in the morning. And I come through the little town of New Plymouth. And just on the east side of New Plymouth, there is that hard right that turns and brings you down that long straight stretch. Just before I came to that curve coming out of New Plymouth, there was an automobile that came out on my right on one of the side streets, that last little side street there on the right coming east. And he pulled out right in front of me, and I could tell that he was, whoever was driving, he, she, whatever, I didn't know at the time, but I could tell that they were highly inebriated. Because we were doing about 10 miles an hour. And they were half in the ditch and half on the road. And I thought to myself, just as soon as we make the corner and we hit that straightaway, I'm getting around this guy. I'm not going to be part of that. And sure enough, we made the corner, and he was in some kind of a Mustang or kind of a souped-up Mach 3 or something. I don't know, something of that nature. I don't remember what it was. It was back when they made cars. Out of real metal, you know what I mean? And we made that corner, and we got on that stretch where I could get around him, and I was in a 1979 Chevy 4x4 all jacked up and hot-rodded out, and then when we got around that corner, I mean, I hit the left lane and I got on it and I was going to get around him. And evidently he thought that was his cue to race. Because the minute I started around him and got up alongside, he hit his gas pedal and boy, I mean, we were flying down that straightaway. By the time I got around him, I was doing about 75. And I finally got back in the right lane. And just as I got right back in the right lane and in my own lane, I passed a car that had been set on the side of the road. Someone had abandoned a car. And I thought, oh my God, he's going to hit it. And sure enough, I watched in my rearview mirror and I could see his headlights behind me. And man, I was wasting no time. I still had my foot in it and I was trying to get on down the road and out of his way. And sure enough, I looked in my rearview mirror and I could see his headlights. And all of a sudden, it went poof. And it went black. And I went, oh, I got to go back. He's hit that car. So I whipped the truck around and I got headed back down. I saw him piled up on the side of the road where he hit that car, and he'd hit that thing right in the tail end and just sent it out in a cornfield. And he was parked on the side of the road, slumped over the steering wheel. I flipped on my flashers and got my truck kind of parked on the road where somebody could get around us if they needed to, but that they would also realize that there was something going on there. When I got to him and I got to the driver's side, he had hit the steering wheel and he had knocked every tooth in the front of his head out. I mean, that's when they made cars. They got all these padded steering wheels now. Anyway, he had knocked all of the teeth out, right? Just bashed him out. And he kept saying, as I was trying to get him out of the truck or out of the car that he was in, he kept saying, "Where is she? Where is she? Where is she?" And I didn't see no she. And the windshield was not busted. So I kept looking for a side window. Where? What do you mean, where is she? He said, "My girlfriend's in the car." And I got to looking, and she must have been laying down or laid over in the seat or something, because on impact, it literally threw her up underneath the dash, just smashed her right up against the dash, up underneath it. And I went around to the passenger side, and without even thinking, I just grabbed the door and ripped it open. I would later find out that that was a real act of adrenaline, because the police officer later on said, "Come here and look at this. You didn't do that on your own." I said, "Yeah, I did." He said, "Well, I mean, I just grabbed it, opened it up, reached in, and started pulling her out." What I realized later was when the cop started pointing it out, that the driver's door had went up like this on the front quarter panel, and it was locked. And I bent that piece of metal like it was a tin can, just pow, you know, ripped her, and I got her out, and I got her on the side of the road, and I didn't have a clue what to do. She wasn't breathing. I started feeling for a pulse. She didn't have a pulse. And about that time, I'm thinking, "Oh my God." And about that time, a woman that lived in Vail, worked at the Emmett Sawmill, was on her way to work. And she pulled around the corner. She said, "What's up?" And I said, "They've had an accident." And she jumped out of her car and she said, "Son, do you know CPR? I said, "I don't know nothing, but you tell me what to do and I'll do it." I ripped my shirt off and got it under that little gal's neck, and the woman knowing CPR, she said, "Put your hands on her chest and you make the compressions and keep doing that." Amen. And she said, "And I'll give her mouth to mouth." And we went to work. And for 30 minutes, there was nothing. And a gentleman that lived nearby on the east side, he come out from his home. He had heard the commotion, and he come out from his home and called 911 and said, "Don't worry, the cops, the paramedics, they're all on their way." And I don't know if it was just the situation, but I mean, the time that I was giving her compression and the woman was giving her CPR, it seemed like an eternity before the paramedics ever got there. It was at least 25, 30 minutes. And finally, that little gal took a gasp of air, and the woman goes, "I've got a pulse. Ah, thank God we got her back to life." And then it faded again, and we went back to work. And finally, the paramedics showed up, and they got her the medical attention that she needed. But I remember looking around at the individuals that were there that night. I remember looking around and identifying different ones that were there for different reasons. There were the police. There were the paramedics. There were those that were involved and injured. There were those that were just standing and looking on. And this morning, I want you to consider with me, amen, that those same kinds of individuals still exist today. If you were to happen upon an accident today sometime and you lingered long enough to watch what was transpiring, amen, you would see the same four sets of people that were there that night. They still exist today. And I want to go into a spiritual side of it, because those same four kinds of people operate and live within the church. Same four categories of folks. I remember looking around at that scene, and I remember we were all there and we played a different role. We were there at the scene for different reasons, and we all played a different part. But they were the ones that were injured. There was the police department, there was the paramedics, and there were those that were just standing by. This morning, if we look, we can see those same four individuals throughout the realm of the church today. Those same four categories. And let me just take it one step farther. We are in one of those categories. We ourselves, on a personal level, are in one of those categories. And the question that I desire to ask you this morning is, which category are you in? Which category am I in? And with that in mind, I want you to consider with me this morning the different individuals, or the different categories of individuals that were there. First, there were the injured. If you came upon a vehicle accident today, chances are there would be a good possibility that you would find those that were injured, those that were in need of assistance. You would find that there was a good possibility, amen, that going into that encounter, you would find someone that had been bruised and someone that was in need of some tender, loving attention. Beloved, let me tell you this morning, there are those in this world today, and there are those even within the church today, amen, that have been injured, and they have been abused, and they have been misused, and they are in need of someone to come along and pour in the oil and the wine. They are hurting, and they need some tender, loving attention. They need a little TLC. It doesn't matter this morning who was at fault. It doesn't matter what they did. It doesn't matter what happened. Maybe someone else was to blame. Maybe they injured themselves and they were the one that injured or caused the injury. But none of that really matters. What really matters is they are hurt and they are injured and they are in need of resuscitation. And what really matters is that they need someone to pour in the oil and the wine. They need someone to stop the bleeding. They need someone to bind up the wounds. They need someone to bind up their broken heart. Maybe you are here this morning and you find yourself spiritually at the scene of an accident in your life. Maybe you are here this morning and you find yourself spiritually at the scene of an incident, and you have been injured and you have been wounded and you have been bruised. Let me just tell you, I got some good news for you this morning. Jesus Christ, amen, is the great physician, and there is a balm in Gilead. Amen. And he will and he can heal the brokenhearted if only we will allow him to. So the first category of folks at the scene of the accident are the injured. The second category of folks at the scene of the accident are the police. If you came upon an accident, you would find that the police department had been called out. They would be there on the scene, and they have a specific primary purpose. They are there to examine the situation. They are there to obtain eyewitness accounts. They are looking for just the facts. They are looking for primarily the goal for their investigation is to determine who was at fault. They are looking for who broke the law. They are looking to assign blame and to administer the proper correction. They are there to determine who should be cited. They are there to determine who should be held accountable. And you see them on the side of the road. If you pass by an accident, they've got the tape measure out and they're measuring the skid marks and they're measuring the angle of the car and who did what and taking down eyewitness report because they are trying to determine who is at fault. Now let me just point out to you this morning that that same mentality has existed in the realm of the church from the very beginning. The Pharisees, the policemen of their day. The Pharisees, the police officers of their day, they were the self-appointed police officers to defend the law. And that brings me to my text. Jesus, the Bible says, amen, he went out to the Mount of Olives, and no doubt he spent that night in the Mount of Olives, and no doubt he was there praying. But in the morning, he came back into the temple. And when he came into the temple, a crowd began to gather around him. And he began to teach them. And he began to minister to them and begin to reach out to them to minister to their needs. And all of a sudden, the police officers, the Pharisees, bring in a woman that they had caught in the very act of adultery. In the very act of adultery, and they put her in front of Jesus. And they say to the Lord, Lord, now listen, Moses said to us in our law, Moses commanded us in our law that such should be stoned. What do you say? They were trying to fix blame upon her. They were trying to reveal that there had been laws that were broken and somebody had to pay the consequences. Jesus doesn't answer at all. He just stoops down and begins to write in the dirt. Oh, I'm going to ask him when we get there, what did you write? What did you write that was so powerful that caused one by one to just turn around and go, I don't need any part of that. I don't want no part of that. Jesus doesn't answer them. He says not a word. Amen. He just simply writes in the ground. But my point this morning is the mindset of the Pharisees. They bring this woman to Jesus because no doubt she is guilty. But what I want to point out to you is that their mindset is she is at fault. She must be punished. She must suffer the consequences of the law. Amen. The police officers within the church have been in the church, amen, from the very, very beginning, amen, and that mentality says somebody must be at fault, somebody has broken the law, somebody must pay. Somebody had to do it. Somebody had to do it. Amen. That same mentality. If you look in John chapter 9, the Bible tells us, beginning with verse number 1 through verse number 3, the Bible tells us that there was a blind man that had been born blind, and the disciples walked by and saw him, and he had been blind from his mother's womb. And the disciples said to Jesus, amen, they said, Master, who did sin? Who caused this, that this man should be born blind? Somebody must be at fault. Somebody must be at fault. Somebody must have broken some rules. Somebody must have broken some penalties, or somebody must have broken some concrete commandments. Amen. Who sinned? His parents? This man or who? And Jesus said to them, this man hasn't sinned and neither has his parents sinned. But for the glory of God has he been born this way, that the glory of God should be manifest. But again, what I want you to see is that same mentality
We see the same police officer kind of mentality. We are here to determine the facts. We are here to administer the punishment. We are here to point out the fault. We're here to gather all of the information. But this man was born blind, not because of anything that he had done wrong, not because anything his family had done wrong, but that the glory of God or the works of God could be manifest. Beloved, there are some in our, not in our body, but I want you to understand, I'm talking about the church world as a whole. There are some within the body of Christ that have appointed themselves, amen, to be the police officers of the church. Amen. They have the mentality, the same mentality, and they run around policing the actions of others and pointing out the violations of others and pointing out the faults of others and pointing out the actions, and they become so focused upon the actions of others. Amen. And they see the splinter in their brother's eye, but they don't even realize they got a beam in their own eye. Hello? Amen. Policing the actions of others and focusing upon their life and what they're doing wrong and pointing out their faults and their failures. Amen. Again, the Pharisees said, amen, Jesus said to them, you that are without sin, cast the first stone. Amen. I want you to understand this morning that after looking at their own life, they all turned around and walked away. Amen. Let me just tell you something this morning. If we will look at our own faults and our own failures, we'll begin to forget about the faults and the failures of those that are around us. And we'll leave the police mentality and leave it to the Lord. Let me just tell you right up front this morning, policing the body of Christ is not our job. Hello? Policing the body of Christ is not our job. We are not to show up at an incident or an accident in life, in someone's life, and then begin to point out their faults and their failures. And, well, you did this, so God must have done that. Hello? Anybody understand what I'm talking about? We got those kind of people, amen, that want to speak into our life. Baloney, amen. They're not the policemen, amen, of God's church. Thank God they are not the policemen of heaven spiritually. There is only one high sheriff of heaven, and his name is the Holy Ghost. Amen. He is the police officer of heaven. How many of you appreciate the police? I do. They have a rough job. But thank God it's not my job to police the actions of others. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. That's the job of the Holy Ghost. Yes, it's my job to preach the truth. And yes, it's my job to live the truth. And yes, it's my job to testify of the truth. But it is not my job to point down a bony finger, amen, and point out your faults and tell you, amen, all the things that you are doing wrong, amen, and try to find the facts and try to measure out the punishment. That's not my job. That's the job of the Holy Ghost. Do you have scripture to prove that? I do. Look in John chapter 16 and verse number 8. This is what the Bible says. This is what Jesus said concerning the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 16 and 8, and when he is come, how many of you know he has come? He came on the day of Pentecost, and there is no place in the scripture that says he ever went. He's still here. He, the Holy Ghost. And when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, who will reprove the world of sin? He will reprove the world of sin. And he will reprove the world of righteousness. And he will measure out judgment.
What I'm saying this morning is it is not our job as an individual. It is not our job as a church to run around as a police officer gathering facts and trying to dictate, amen, the facts and trying to dish out the corporal punishment and trying to, amen, point out the faults of it. No, our job is just to love everybody, live, amen, a life that is up above reproach, and to love and minister the truth to people's hearts and lives. Amen. How many of you ever saw a police officer in an accident get involved with a hurting? Sometimes Holy Spirit will do that. But their primary role is to gather the facts. Their primary role is to point out who was at fault, indict who was at fault. Amen. I do not want to be guilty on a personal level, and I do not want our church on a corporate level, amen, to be or try to be the holy sheriff of heaven. I don't want, I don't want personally us to try to do the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit's job to convict. It is the Holy Spirit's job, amen, to do a work in their life. All we need to do is just preach the truth, live the truth, amen, and love them, and let the Holy Spirit do a work in their life. Paramedics, you have the injured, you have the police, you have the paramedic, the third group that shows up on the scene. I can tell you that night that I was never so glad. I remember that night. I was never so glad when the paramedics finally showed up and they got that young lady in the ambulance, took her to the hospital in Ontario. She made it, by the way, I can tell you that. I used to get a Christmas card from her every year. But that third group, the paramedics, you would find them on the scene. They were there that night. If you came upon an accident, they would be called, they would be there. And when they peeled out of their ambulance and started getting out their gear to fix and help and to minister to people, their objective would be to restore and to heal and pour in the oil and wine. Their objective would be to bind up the wounds. Their objective would be, amen, to help and to heal and to encourage and to resuscitate and revive and bring an individual back to health. Their objective would be to help. Does that sound familiar? Jesus is called in the scripture the great physician. And you may ask why, and I will tell you, because the Bible tells us that he was called the great physician. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to mend the shattered lives. He came to help those that were injured along life's highway. Amen. Does that mean that Jesus condoned sin? Absolutely and certainly not. Amen. The woman caught in the act of adultery. Amen. Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And she said, "I don't have any." And here's what he said: I don't condemn you either, but I want you to go your way and sin no more. Amen. I'm not giving you a license to do wrong, but I'm telling you, I'm forgiving, and the grace of God is sufficient, and you can go your way without condemnation and without penalty, amen, because of the blood of Christ, and go your way and sin no more. The Pharisees, they were trying to fix blame, and Jesus was just trying to fix the woman. That's our job. Not fix blame, but just try to fix the person. Try to show them to Jesus Christ. Try to minister to them, amen, and bring them to the reality of Christ. We are called to be the spiritual paramedics of this world. We are called to reach out to those that are spiritually hurting and those that are spiritually lost and those that have spiritually fallen from fellowship with God. And we reach out to them not with the mentality of the police department, amen, not with force, amen, and not with an attitude that somebody must pay, but with a heart that desires to see restoration and a heart that desires to see, amen, someone restored in their right place with God. And that brings me to my fourth and final individual that you would find there that night, the bystander. And oh, do we have a lot of bystanders in the house of the Lord. They may not be part of the police department, they may not be part of the injured, and they may not really be part of the paramedic squad. They're just looking on. I just came to see what's happening. I just came to see what's going on. Folks that just stand around and watch the incident occur. Watch the paramedics. Watch the police. Watch the individuals. They have no intention of getting involved. They have no intention of helping. They're just on the scene to watch. We have that same kind of mentality sometimes in the church world. The mentality that I don't want to get too overly involved. I don't mind going, but I'm not volunteering for nothing. I don't mind going, but I'm really not going to give anything of myself. I'm just going to show up, get what I can, and sayonara, sucker. Hello? And they just are a bystander in the house of the Lord. Bystanders. Let me give you an example, a biblical example of a bystander. You'll find it in Acts chapter 7. Stephen was a man of God filled with the Holy Ghost. He had been brought before the rulers, the Jewish rulers of the nation, the religious rulers of the nation, because he had been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they bring Stephen before the religious rulers and they said, "You give us an account of yourself. You explain yourself, son. Tell us why you've been preaching what you've been preaching." And here was their accusation. "This man said that this Jesus Christ is going to change the laws of Moses." That's what he was accused of. Stephen stood there that day and he began to give an account of himself. He gives you a great, great history in a nutshell. Read Acts chapter 7. He gives you a wonderful nutshell example of the children of Israel when they left Egypt all the way up to that point in time. And when they got right to the end of his confession or right to the end of his message, everybody standing around and listening to him, the high priests and those religious leaders concluded that he was blaspheming because he wanted to point out to them that Jesus Christ, whom they crucified, was that Messiah that was to come. And the Bible says that they began to stone Stephen. But Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up into the heavens and he said, I see the Son of God sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And they began to stone him and began to hurl rocks at him to take his life. And they did. And standing by that day was a young man by the name of Saul. The Bible tells us that Saul was consenting unto his death. And everybody that picked up a rock laid their coat at Saul's feet. In other words, they give their coat for Saul to hang on to while they stone this man. "You hold my coat while I take up a rock and put this man out of his misery here." And Saul was just standing by. Wasn't going to get involved. He didn't pick up a rock himself. He didn't throw any rocks. But he was there. He was a bystander.
He didn't throw any stones. He didn't throw, amen, any rocks at Stephen, but he was standing there consenting unto his death. Just a bystander. This morning, amen, as the Spirit of the Lord began to lay this word upon my heart, amen, and began to talk to me about this word, I began to revisit it and begin to restudy it and begin to replant it down into my spirit. And I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to challenge each of us here today. What are we? What category do we fit in? Are we part of the injured? Are we part of the police department? Have we become the self-appointed police, pointing out the faults of others and pointing out the, amen, the inconsistencies in someone else's life? Or are we part of the paramedic squad when we see the injured, that we reach out to them, amen, with love and pour in oil and wine and try our best to bring them into restored relationship with Jesus Christ? Or are we just standing by, watching all of it happen, amen, unwilling to get involved and unwilling to be a part? We're just a bystander on the scene of an accident in life. I believe with all of my heart that the world is waiting to see if there is any mercy in the house of God. I believe with all of my heart that there are those that are in the world that are just waiting to see if there really is such a love as love your neighbor as yourself. I don't want to be a bystander. I don't want to be a self-appointed policeman running around going, "Look what you did. There'll be hell to pay for that, brother." Hello? I got enough of my own problems. I want to be a paramedic. I want to be a paramedic. People sometimes injure themselves. Sometimes other people injure them. But the reality is, people get injured. I want to bail off of the ambulance from heaven and come to their aid and say, "Jesus loves you." It doesn't matter who was right, who was wrong. It doesn't matter if you were at fault. It doesn't matter if you shot your own self in the foot. It just doesn't matter. "Woman, where are thine accusers?" I'm not your accuser. Neither do I condemn thee. But what I am telling you is that there is grace that is sufficient. The blood can cleanse from every sin and every stain. Let me bring you to Jesus. Let me bring you to the wounded side of Calvary and show you where he paid the penalty, where he paid the price for your law breaking. Let me take you to Christ and let me pour in oil and wine and love you back to health and love you back. Let me pour in some TLC. Let me pour in some truth of God's word. Let me pour in, amen, the desire to bring you into a relationship with the most loving, wonderful Savior that you could ever know. Let me bring you to him. And when you get to him, you'll fall in love with him just like I have. It's not my job to be the police department. It's not your job. "Well, Pastor Gary, you don't know what they did." Let me just tell you something this morning. The Lord knows what they did. This woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Did Jesus excuse her? No. No, what Jesus was saying to her was, "I know where they found you. I know where you were. I know what you were doing. But I also want you to know that I love you and that I do not condemn you. I want you to go from here and go your way and don't get back in that mess again. Sin no more." That should be our attitude. Whatever they have fallen into, whatever they have been injured by, let's just simply, as a church, be a paramedic house. and reach out to others and let them know that Jesus loves them, that Jesus cares for them, that Jesus desires for them to be made whole. They wanted to fix blame. Jesus just wanted to fix her. Amen. I don't want to be about fixing blame. I just want to fix. I want to fix their problem by bringing them to the only one that can fix their problem. And that's Jesus Christ. The question that I put to you today, and we're going to bring it to a close, but the question that I put to you today is, whose example are we following? On a personal level, on a corporate level, whose example are we following? Are we trying to be the self-appointed police? Are we trying to be the paramedic? Or are we just simply standing by and refuse to get involved either way? We all fit into one category or another. We all fit in either category, one or the other. This morning, I want to be part of the paramedics of heaven. I want people to see the love of Jesus in me. I want them to see it so strongly that they realize that the Savior loves them and that He wants to draw them nigh unto Himself. Amen. Bow your heads, please. Police, paramedics, or bystanders, which are you this morning? Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. Which are you this morning? Are you more concerned with the rights and the wrongs and the faults and the failures of others? Or are you more concerned about pouring in the oil and wine and seeing their life healed and seeing their life resuscitated and revived and remade and remade new by the power of God's Spirit? Or are you just a bystander in the house of the Lord? You're really not committed either way. You just kind of show up to watch. I challenge you this morning, make a decision to join the paramedic squad of heaven. Love people. Love the Lord. Love men and women. Show them to Christ. Live a life that is a testimony. Live a life that is a testimony of Jesus Christ. You may be the only Jesus that some people see. You may be the only work of the Lord that some see. Be the example, like a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. Let your light shine. Don't light a light and put it under a bush. Light that light and let it shine. Testify of the love of God. Reach out to those who are in need. Be willing to get involved. It may cost you something, but oh, it will be worth it. Don't be a bystander. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Help us this morning, oh God, not to be the self-appointed police. That's the work of your Holy Spirit. Let me just be willing to share the truth, to live a life of truth, to live an example of truth, and let my light shine, and then the Holy Spirit can work, and He can bring conviction, and He can bring a word to their heart that makes them realize that they need to change. Lord, I don't want to be just a bystander, unmoved either way, just hanging out, part of the crowd. I'm not really helping. I'm not really hurting. I'm just here. But oh God, oh God, help us to be like the Good Samaritan along life's road when he came upon the man that was wounded and dying. Help us to pour in the oil and the wine. Help us to do the work of the paramedic. Doesn't matter who was at fault. You sort all of that out. Lord, all we desire to do is just see them healed and see them restored and see them brought back to health. Help us to give them a little TLC, a little tender loving care, a kind word. Help us to love them the way you love us. Freely we have received. Let us freely give. I ask it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, all over the building. Are you here this morning and you would be willing to say, Pastor Gary, I realize by your message this morning that I may have joined the police force. God sees your hand and yours. God sees your hand and yours and yours. Brother Gary, I haven't really joined the police or the paramedics. I realized this morning I've just been kind of uncommitted either way. I've just been a bystander. If that's you, slip up your hand. Say, that's me. Yes, 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 yes. We have enough police officers in the church. We have enough bystanders in the church. If you're with me this morning, would you lift your hand and say, Lord, we need more paramedics. We need more paramedics. I want to be that paramedic. I want to be that paramedic to pour in the oil and the wine. Stand to your feet. Hands have been lifted all over the building this morning for different reasons. Let's pray together before Houston leads us one more time in worship. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, oh God, that it never returns void, but that it always accomplishes what you send it forth to accomplish. This morning I pray, oh God, that we will take from this service a desire to join the heavenly paramedic squad, to minister Jesus to the hurt, to minister Jesus to the broken, to minister Jesus to those that have been bruised and have had their teeth knocked out by the accidents of life. Help us to pull someone out of the car the way I pulled that young lady out of the car so many years ago. Help us to pull somebody out of the accident of the enemy and revive them and bring them back to health. I ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name, on a personal level, on a corporate level, let Elevation Worship Center be a paramedic house where the injured can come and find a bandage for their wound, where the balm of Gilead can be applied and the great physician can bring healing into their lives. Help us be that kind of people. Help us have that kind of attitude, that kind of spirit. Help us fit in that category. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.